Hello, this is Paul O'Brien, volunteer host for Pathways for the past 35 years. Before we get to this week's show, I want to make a quick appeal to you, our listeners. Spring Drive was canceled due to COVID-19, and community radio needs your support now more than ever. So if you have the means, please donate online at kboo.fm/give. Please show your support for volunteer-powered, listener-supported radio and the Pathways program. Thank you so much.
Hello, and welcome to Pathways, where you are invited to join us for a visit with leaders in personal and cultural transformation. This is Renee Beth Poindexter, sitting in for Pathways host Paul O'Brien. Today I have with me Suzanne Mulcahy. She is a former psychologist, actually, school psychologist for over 35 years, and has been a director of special education and an administrator of many federal projects within schools. She's worked with parents and children of all ages, and her work has really centered on positive social and emotional development of children. She's also the president and founder of Panda Heart Publishing. She actually lives right here in Portland, and she is a proud mother and grandmother. So I can't wait to interview you right now. Suzanne, welcome. Thank you for being here today.
Thank you.
It's wonderful to read your work, and I know in this crazy world that we're in right now, many parents and grandparents are struggling about what do we do with our children now that they're home? Many of them are trying to duplicate something that happens in school, but is that the right approach?
Well, I know most of them have been thrown into homeschooling, and it's very scary because if you don't have the skills for teaching, breaking that down and trying to work with your own children especially is very, very difficult. I would like to share with parents just to relax and not get panicked about not getting the academics at this time. It's far more important if you just spend time with your children learning to know them and teaching them some of the social skills, especially just trying to understand who they are, the beautiful little beings that they are. What are they thinking? What are they feeling? And especially getting them attached to their hearts, just finding ways to relate to them as well as trying to do academics. When they go back to school, all the other children are going to be in the same boat. All these parents are having the same struggles. So just relax and don't worry so much about it.
Exactly. I love that because I believe that, you know, wisdom knows no age, and our youth are wanting to be a part of this new world that's happening right now. And it doesn't have to be filled with fear, actually. It can be filled with possibilities. And I think that's where the social and emotional development comes in. It's like we're all developing. Even though we're adults, we're still evolving our social and emotional intelligence, especially on who we are as we're facing the unknown right now. So you've written several books. You know, I should say to everyone that one of the most powerful books that I read recently is this book that really falls into the category of a picture book that teaches lifelong behaviors. And this book is called Who Am I? It's a beautiful picture book, and it highlights a beautiful character named Yin. Tell us a little bit about this book and what's in store for the adults listening to this right now and their relationship with their youth.
Well, this is about a little panda bear named Yin, and the name of the book, Who Am I? He goes on a journey in search of himself, and he discovers all these amazing things about himself. The way he looks, this unique, beautiful little panda, no one's ever going to look like him. He discovers he has feelings and he has thoughts, and then he discovers the most important part of who he is his heart. And in his heart are all his special gifts that he can give to others. The gift of friendship, the gift of love, the gift of helping. So it's a great book for parents and children. And I suggest parents look at who they are in the same way.
That's a deep topic for psychologists, all of us move, everybody in therapy and so forth. It's like, who am I really? And all the ideas that go along with the idea of identity. Now, for the adults listening to this, yes, it is a picture book that is beautiful when especially read out loud and in relationship with children who also are engaging in the pictures and so forth. So you've actually created this character, Yin, and you and Yin is, you talk about the spirit of Yin. So how does the spirit of Yin, let's say, jump off the pages of the book and actually enter into an environment such as a family or a school or a business, for God's sakes, you know? All of us need to know our key identity right now, right?
Well, Yin spirit was a part of the character Yin, and it's that spirit, and it's just coming from your heart, that ability, because when we come from our heart, we actually find our humanity. And that's the most important thing for all of us. My stand for children, which could easily apply to everyone, is that they all discover their hearts as the core and essence of who they are, and to know their own humanity. Because this, to me, is the most significant thing that we can bring to the world right now, is to be in touch with our humanity.
This is a message for people of all ages, including, I mean, maybe this is why you were invited to speak at the United Nations. I mean, this is a topic not only for children, you know, to really understand identity and compassion and heartfelt communication. It's a global opportunity for people to become more aware of who we are becoming and what does the mind, spirit, and heart have to do with it. What was it that took you to the United Nations? What was that message?
Well, I was part of a nonprofit organization, and it was Interracial Sisterhood Project that I was working on, and we designed a youth forum on racial harmony. And it was a one-day workshop for high school and college students, and it was designed to get them in touch with who they are, basically. And in part of the process, they discover their hearts. And when they do, they realize that communicating from their hearts broke down all barriers. It was the one place where we all came together. They each create their ideal person in groups. And these groups always were consistent. Their ideal person had integrity, trustworthiness, respect, all of the things that you really want in your ideal person was identical. And this is the values of the heart. So when they got to that place, the barriers between them really broke down. And because of the success of this particular workshop, I was asked to present it at the United Nations. It was a forum on global perspectives on ending racial discrimination.
That's powerful. Well, that also relates to your work about ending bullying. You know, back, you know, when youth are in school, the bullying is something that just happens in that environment. It happens not only in school environments, but many of us have been bullied in the workplace as well. It's like bullying. Why does that, you know, you as a psychologist, where does bullying come from? And what does character education have to do with putting an end to it?
Well, because of my work, I know the power of coming from your heart. I worked with very troubled youth, especially in the middle school, and gang type students. And it took me 8 months of working with them on a weekly basis during the school year, just to break down the barriers to discover their hearts. They're so sealed. They couldn't even experience nature, because they're so solidified in that anger. And when I realized I could just break that, crack it just a little bit, and this behavior changed. I took this particular three groups that I had to this youth forum, even though they were middle school. I took them with me when we did it for that day, and they were amazingly changed when they came home. It was like I had two different groups. And I was thrilled to see the power of just touching into their hearts. And I guess my thrust in the United States, especially right now, was based on Mother Teresa. that sentence, you know, that quote that she said, that the United States is suffering from a starvation far greater than that of India. And it's the starvation of the human spirit. So I really started looking at that and realizing it really needs to be there. It has to be brought back if we ever want to coexist as human beings.
Exactly. And so in so many ways, we could be looking at this pandemic as, a fear-based, what are we going to do coming from a fear? But the opposite of fear, the acronym false evidence appearing real, it's like there's an opening here. The opposite of fear is love.
Absolutely.
And the whole idea of opening our hearts to love. Like you just shared the story of what you've witnessed with children and adults who have absolutely done the heart work, that fear dissipates because you come back home to yourself in a powerful way. Now, you've seen this in many, many ways, and you've also experienced it in your own life. Maybe you could tell us a little bit about that, because this is such a timeless topic and so appropriate for the reality of each person being their authentic self, but sometimes that's difficult. It was difficult for you as a youth. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. I was placed by my parents into this very exclusive private school and tested, and they thought they were doing me this wonderful favor to give me this advantage. But when I was 8 in the third grade, and they tested me and put me into the 4th, 5th, 6th grade section of this school. So I was by far short and totally ill-equipped to handle being with the older students. And because of that, I was absolutely tormented, unbelievably. And it left such a scar on me. It's interesting because I believe it only lasted like 4 months, but I could vividly remember those days in that school today as if it happened yesterday. It's unbelievably hard to cope with that kind of bullying. It's just incredible how painful that is.
Right. And so your parents did come and rescue you from that situation. But it's interesting, you know, for our listeners, everyone right now, we think about some of the most devastating experiences in our life were the catalyst for something that our heart and spirit needed to discover in order for us to live our calling in this lifetime. So you were able to discover that at, what, age 8? You fast forward to you as a psychologist, and you have this idea that children have awareness more so than maybe adults have given them credit for. And so reading together right now is a powerful way to strengthening the relationship. Tell us a little bit more about your book, Who Am I? And then also the other books that relate to that, along with some interactive exercises that parents can be using right now with parents and grandparents can be doing right now to solidify maybe strengthening relationships in the family. What are some activities that could be related to your books?
Well, I did a video reading my book. Now, this is, believe me, is my very first video, so it's not professionally done, but it's 6 minutes long. So if they want to read that, I could share with you that link. But it's wonderful because when you walk your children through understanding those four aspects of who they are. And before you do, I recommend just making a treasure chest. It could be anything. Many parents or teachers use shoe boxes. They decorate. But just so that we have a place to put all the wonderful things your children are going to be learning about themselves as they go through the book. First is all their physical characteristics, and they can draw or write whatever they need to do to put it in this box, just so they know how important those are and how significant they are. And their feelings, that it's part of reality. We all feel all the emotions, and that doesn't stop ever. And then, of course, their mental aspect, what they think and how their thinking affects who they are. And then, of course, the spiritual aspect. And that's really fun because you get to honor all the gifts that they have, their talents that they have, as well as their intrinsic gifts, and especially the gift of love, and just reinforce them whenever you see them doing any of those behaviors.
That's beautiful. Well, it's all about trusting oneself enough to be in that space of creating a magical moment, a magical teaching moment. Now, you have written several books, not just these picture books that teach lifelong behaviors for children. It's really, that's, I love these ideas. Like, oh yeah, it looks like a children's book, but when the adults read it, they go, oh my gosh, this book is for me. But then you've also written a book called Reflections from the Heart, which is really a beautiful book with a series of stories from your own personal experience, I believe.
Yes.
That are short reads and can make a big difference in the life of someone. Could you tell us a little bit about, you know, there, you've got a section in there of late relationships one, relationships two, relationship three. You know, what is this power relationship? Because right now we actually have the time to spend deepening our relationships. But, you know, so many of us are ill-equipped with that because we've been so busy doing something else. So how do we come home to ourselves in our relationship, let's say with me, myself, and I, and then with people close to me? You know, what are some nuggets of wisdom that you could share?
Well, especially with communication, it's really important that you stop and listen before, you know, listen to your hearts before you communicate, especially if you're in a conflict situation. You want to really make sure that what you're communicating is coming from your heart as opposed to just an impulse that, and now I know that's difficult because staying at home with children 24/7 is about as difficult as you can get. So relationships, this is probably the most trying time you can have with each other. But just try and take that moment of reflection and think about what your heart wants to say as opposed to what your brain does. And that makes it so much easier when you're in communication with someone. And the other aspect is listening. The second book I wrote for children was teaching them about listening, which is far more difficult than just speaking. Because you not only have to listen with your ears, but you have to listen with your heart as well. What is this person really trying to communicate? What are they feeling? What are they thinking? So that's really important too, just to take that moment of pausing and just listen and speak from your heart.
Yeah, well, I think you refer to that as compassionate communication, right?
Yes.
So sometimes we give ourselves a hard time, like we think we have to have an answer right now for something that's happening. And actually there's more space and room in not having the answer and being okay with that.
Absolutely.
And then let's say, like if a parent is going, gosh, I got to help with this homework, you know, homework, the schoolwork, I've got to get this done. I got to get this done. And that's kind of more mental, right? How do you shift from that doing space to a being space? When you talk about dropping from your mind, your head space to your heart. What's that? How do you do that?
Well, if you're in a situation where you're really struggling, you don't know how to teach whatever your child is trying to learn, I would just take a moment and pause and tell your child, you know, this is not a good time for us to be doing this. We can put it aside and let's spend some time doing something else, something that maybe he loves and you love doing together. I don't know what, you know, your specifics are, but it could be anything from baking a dessert or taking a walk or playing ball, anything that communicates you with your child on a much better level than the tension of trying to learn this academic material.
Right. So the other piece is about nature. This connection to nature is so healing. And most people have been so busy, they haven't had the time to even connect with the fact that this is spring. This is spring now. And nature is, yesterday was, you know, this week was Earth Day. Yesterday was Earth Day. And what is that the Mother Nature is teaching us? And how do we discover that together? Do you have any ideas, suggestions? Because you mentioned that several times in your books.
Well, the interesting thing is when I worked with these really severe behavior students in this middle school environment, one of the first things I have them do is to go out and find an item in nature so that they could just relate to it. These students didn't see any item in nature, and they were surrounded. Their school had grass, trees, bushes, flowers. And I was so shocked that they couldn't even relate to nature at any level. And that showed the significance of how far removed they were from their hearts, because nature is the place where it opens us up. You know, most of us can watch a sunset or walk on a beach or even watching children play, and your heart just opens up to that. So the fact that they were so sealed showed me the value of really connecting with nature. And once I got them to do that, I had to point it out, but the closest I got was actually showing them some pictures of puppies. They managed to open up their heart to baby, you know, baby dogs. They just loved it. Absolutely. It just made them feel warm, but nature. So the significance of nature is amazing. You can learn so much from it, the simplicity of it, the calmness of it.
Exactly. There's quite a bit of, you know, with spring, it's popping up all over. Just taking a walk from one day to the next, if you notice your surroundings, it's blooming everywhere. I mean, you can tell by the pollen, those of you that have allergies, you know what I'm talking about. But the beauty of nature is like there's a connection between nature and who we are. And I think that's the part that you're talking about, is how it opens the heart towards more understanding and respect for oneself, for other people, and for our relationship to the earth herself. It's quite freeing when we're able to do that. So I'm just curious, there are so many other exercises and things that family can be doing. And I know you're a grandparent. I think you have, how many grandchildren do you have?
Eight.
Eight. Okay. So what are some activities that grandparents, along with parents, in other words, many families I know are all living together right now, because if they didn't, they wouldn't be able to see each other and they wanted to come together. So is there anything that you're personally doing with your family that you might share that would help people? One idea or two?
Well, especially being a grandparent, it's so much easier than being a parent, I can't tell you. You don't have that major responsibility. You just are there to play. So that is a true gift. And especially because I have my son and his wife and their two little ones here. And what they appreciate more than anything is if I can just take the little ones and do something with them and give them just a moment. So that's a gift to them, but it's especially a gift to me, because I can, I just relate with them. I get whatever they want to do, I participate. I let them guide the play activities. And if they want me to run around and be a character, I'll do that. So that's really delightful to see them come to life and be creative. And they love it when you respond to what they want you to do, as opposed to directing an activity.
Exactly. Because the imagination, and so we all get back to that youth of our, that child inside of us that maybe we never got to really cultivate because we were forced to grow up too soon. Well, Suzanne, I wish we had more time to talk today. We're almost out of time. I'm just wondering, tell us where we can find more information about your message. I think you have a website, and you mentioned a little bit about the book that you are reading now, that you can actually help parents get in a sense of this Who Am I book. Where should people go for that?
Well, I don't have the direct link because it's quite long on YouTube, but it's if you go to Suzanne Mulcahy, Who Am I? That should come up, and it's reading the book.
Beautiful. So that's Suzanne, Suzanne, and Mulcahy, which is Mulcahy. I want to thank you, Suzanne, for being with us today. You are the author of several books. We're calling them grown-up books for children. That teach behaviors, Who Am I and Who Am I Being Right Now? Like, Who Am I is the name of the book. along with Reflections of the Heart, are two books that we highlighted today. I want to thank all of those who tuned in late, but this is Renee Beth Poindexter sitting in for Paul O'Brien. Today we've been with Suzanne Mulcahy. I want to thank you to all of our listeners for tuning into the Pathways radio interview program, which is broadcast and streamed via KBOO FM Sunday mornings at 8:30 a.m. Please tell your friends about Pathways and its podcasts. It is this interview program dedicated to personal and cultural evolution. Thanks again for tuning in and for being a part of it.
We hope you enjoyed today's show and go to kboo.fm/give to show your support. Thank you.